Friday, May 29th, began very late in the day, with breakfast about 11 o'clock in bed with Lyndon. Then he went out and lay in the hammock by the swimming pool for a much longer time than he thought, because although it was an overcast day, he was completely barbecued, red as a lobster, before he knew it. About noon, Dorothy Parker and Mary Griffith arrived, and I tried on clothes for several hours, wound up by buying 5 dresses, almost all on sale, which will carry me happily through the summer, except maybe for a cotton suit, capable of jumping in and out of helicopters, and trudging up mountainsides, and is also bright and colorful, and that's hard to find. They're such sweet people and so interested, it would be hard for me to do without them in my life. I slipped off after a while and got about 30 minutes in the sun. Eloise and Homer Thornberry and their 3 children drove by, coming from El Paso on the way to Austin. They'll be present for all the University of Texas activities. Eloise was bubbling with plans for moving to Austin. Very late in the day, we had lunch, Dorothy Parker, Mary Griffith and I. Lyndon had left long before with A.W. to go ride around over ranches. And then, about 5 o'clock, I started doing what I like best. Went for a ride to the Lewis place with Liz and Bob Massey of the Saturday Evening Post, who is trying to put down my thoughts and my words into an article for the Post, which will center around my Detroit speech. The red barn and the green roof and the quaint little house of native stone and weathered wood looks so delightful from what I call the 25-cent scenic drive, where you look way down on the valley to it. Looked like Marshall Dillon might come riding up any minute. We tried to get in, to my amazement, found that my familiar hiding place for the key no longer held a key. Went around and sat in the rockers on the front porch. And along came a light shower. Delightful prologue for more to follow, I hope, because the country is bone dry and the ranchers restless, waiting for rain. Back at the ranch, we dressed for the Johnson City High School commencement, driving in with Jesse and A.W., the 8 o'clock ceremony, which was actually a dedication of the new high school building, just completed by Brooks and Barr, and really a credit to them. The auditorium was crowded with proud parents, the local folks, and a vast horde of the press. There was a processional, very slow and solemn, with the 30 graduates in cap and gown. Invocation, Pledge of Allegiance, and then the dedication. I'm real proud that the school building is named the Lyndon B. Johnson High School. And then the salutatory address and the class history by Sherry Latham, well-known Johnson City name. Humorous and delightful, beginning with their first grade. Frequent references to Ava Cox, who was their teacher 2 different years. The class song, and then the valedictory by a very pretty young girl, Kathy Sibley. Kitty Clyde Leonard, the superintendent, introduced Lyndon. It was a prepared speech, and a very good one, I thought, but there was some extra warmth and hominess to it. One of the things I liked best was when he asked if there were any of the people who graduated in his class present. Of course, his cousin Margaret is dead, but that only leaves 4 who could have been, and 3 of them were there, Kitty Clyde herself, of course, being one of them, she, his old sweetheart. They all stood up. I wonder how it seemed to the press. It was delightful to me. Then John Morrison, the principal, A.W.'s brother, presented the awards to the outstanding ones. George Croft's daughter was outstanding in several ways, Sandra, and a charming child she was. After the presentation of the diplomas, she is the one who arose and accepted them. And then the school song and the benediction and the very slow recessional. All of it happening all over the land, just like this, in so many little schools and big. We stayed just a short while at the reception, punching cookies. I had glimpsed out in the audience Margaret Ann, Lyndon's cousin, and was so sorry I didn't get to see her. Ava. I had also hoped to see Ava, although because of her heart attack, she was not at all sure she would be able enough to come. And in the distance, there had been Becky, perky, pretty, and very, very thin. They're down for the wedding Saturday night of Truman Fawcett's daughter. Jug Muller and her 3 sons had driven out from Austin just to glimpse us, which was all it amounted to. Back at the ranch, we had a late snack and a very reasonable bedtime.